This message is presented to you by Pastor David Lambert and Exceed Life Church in Virginia Beach, Virginia. For more information, visit exceedlifechurch.org.
God is so good. You know, I'm going to continue on my message on grace, but it's going to be a healing message. Title of my message is Grace to be Healed. Amen. And I love preaching on healing because we all deal with situations in our life at times. We're not living in a redeemed body. Amen. And so, you know, your spirit, it's brand new, but your body will be redeemed eventually. We'll have a glorified body. And so we're in the series on grace, and we've discovered in the series that grace is God's power to work in our lives, to accomplish and receive everything that he has for us. Amen. And so there's nothing we can't do without the grace of God. Now, faith activates the grace of God in our lives. Faith is believing and acting on God's word and believing that God's power can cause us to overcome in any circumstance and in any situation in our lives. You believe that today? Amen. Do you believe that God has the power to cause you to overcome? Amen. Amen. So I'm going to say this. You might be dealing with something today. You might be dealing with some infirmity in your body. But I'm going to say that that's a temporary situation. I'm going to say whatever we're dealing with in the natural is subject to change. And I'm going to say this, not to change for the worse, but to change for the better. I'm saying something this morning because I'm going to say this. You're not stuck where you're at. God's grace can unstuck you. Amen, if that's a word. God's grace can bring you out of any negative circumstance, any negative situation. You believe that today? Amen. Listen, it looked bad on Friday when Jesus was being crucified, when he was being whipped, when he was being crucified on the cross. It looked bad on Friday, but Sunday came. Amen. So Friday, it may look like Jesus was losing, but Sunday, he won. Yeah. What happened on Sunday? Jesus was raised. It looked like the devil won. I'm going to say this to you. Sometimes it looks like the devil's winning in our lives. Sometimes it looks like because we're dealing with issues, we're dealing with situations. Sometimes it feels like, I'm getting real with you this morning. Sometimes it feels like the devil's winning. Do you ever feel like that? You ever feel like the devil seems to be winning, that God's promises aren't working? But I'm going to say this, God's promises are working if we respond in the right way. Amen? We got to respond in the right way. Now, I love this. It says here in Acts 4:32. This is really powerful. It says, now the multitude of those who believed. Now, I'm stopping right there for a second because the multitude believe. So we got to believe. Say, I'm believing it's getting better. You got to believe it's getting better. Amen. So the multitude of those who believed were in one heart, one soul. Neither did anyone say that any of these things he possessed was his own, but they had all things in common. And with great power, the apostles gave witness to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon the apostles. No, it doesn't say that. Great grace was upon them all. So God's grace is not just for the preachers. God's grace is not just for the apostles. God's grace is not for just the people back there in that dispensation. Well, that was the early church, Pastor, and God had to move in the early church to make sure, you know, he's revealing who he is in the early church. Well, my Bible says that God's going to move in the latter church. Amen. That God's grace is going to move greater in the last days. Do you believe that today? Do you believe that God's power needs to increase in the last days more than it does in the beginning? Amen. I believe his grace needs to be greater. We're in the last days. And I don't know about you, but I need the power of God working in my life. And the Bible says, in the last days, he will pour out his spirit on all flesh. See, I'm going to say this. What some of us are missing And when we're not receiving, we're not stirring up the gift enough. We need to start getting excited. We need to get excited about the Word of God. We need to get excited about the power of God. We need to get excited about God. Amen? And so great grace and great power go hand in hand. So God's grace is His power to help us overcome the forces of darkness that will try to come against us at times. And I'm going to say this, we are in a battle. You are in a battle. You are in a fight. Every day it's a fight. And I'm going to say this, it's really an attitude fight. We got to make sure our attitude stays right when things aren't going well. We got to make sure that our attitude is right. It's not attitude, it's aptitude that determines your altitude. Okay, I'm not going to say that three times. It's attitude, not aptitude, that determines your altitude. Amen. Determines on how high you go in God. Amen. And so you got to believe that God's power is resonant to work even today. Doesn't the Bible say Jesus the same yesterday, today, and forever? So Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. I believe things are getting better. I'm going to say that again. You got to believe if you're dealing with any kind of sickness, especially if you've been dealing with it for a long time, for a certain amount of time, you got to keep believing things are going to get better. Amen. Say, I believe that. Now, let's look at this, and we're going to take a story, and we're going to dissect the story this morning. And it's in Acts chapter 3, and this is Peter and John, and they're going to the temple. And let me just read this, and we're going to get some nuggets out of it this morning on how we can walk in the grace of healing for us and how we can distribute the grace of healing for others. Amen? Because healing is not just for you. I'm going to say it again. God's healing power is not just for you to walk in health, but it's for you to disperse it to others so they can walk in health. Amen. So His healing is twofold. It's for us to walk in health, but it's for others to walk in health or healing. And look at your hands. Say, I have healing in my hands. You have healing in your hands. You got to believe that today. Amen. And I love this. It says here, now Peter and John went up together to the temple at the hour of prayer, the ninth hour. And a certain man lame from his mother's womb was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask for alms from those who entered the temple. Who, seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asked for alms. And fixing his eyes on him with John, Peter said, look at us. So he gave them his attention, expecting to receive something from them. Then Peter said, silver and gold I do not have, but what I do have I give to you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And he took him by the right hand, lifted him up, and immediately his feet and his ankle bones received strength. So he leaped up, stood up, walked, and entered the temple with them, walking and leaping and praising God. Did you come in this morning walking and leaping and praising God? Because that's what you need to do when you come to church. You need to come in walking and leaping and praising God. And he said the people saw him walking and praising God. The people saw the praise coming out of this man because he was a beggar. And you know what? God turns beggars into victors. God turns the lame in and gives them the ability to walk. God heals the sick. Amen? And said, then they knew that it was him who sat begging at the alms at the beautiful gate of the temple. And they were all filled with wonder and amazement of what had happened to him. So this is amazing. So we see here Peter and John were going to the temple. And these are some keys that I want to dissect to you this morning about this story here. The first key, Peter and John headed to church. And this is an important account, important part of the account, because them heading to church is basically them seeking the kingdom of God. And if you're going to see miracles in your life, you got to keep seeking the kingdom of God. Peter and John were seeking the kingdom of God. They were going to church to the hour of prayer that day. And I'm going to say this, never discount church. Always be ready to come to church. Why? Because I'm telling you, with that man that was laying at the gate called Beautiful, he wasn't even in the church, but he still got blessed. Just being around the church, you'll get blessed. Amen. And we need to be constantly seeking God. Amen. Seeking, like I said last week, desiring His presence. And in His presence is His protection. His presence is His favor. His favor surrounds us and protects us. You believe that today? Just the other day, I almost got in a car accident. I almost hit another car driving. And it's by the grace of God, I saw that car and I pulled back into my lane. And I just thought about the grace of God. I mean, I was inches from side swiping another vehicle. Amen. Has anybody been there? Has anybody experienced the grace of God while you're driving? It's the grace of God that protects us. It's the grace of God that sustains us. It's the grace of God that heals us. Amen. It's only by His grace. You see, the problem is with some people, they think it's luck. Oh, I just got lucky. And listen, there's no luck in God. There's only blessings. Luck comes from the devil. Amen. It comes from Lucifer. It derives from Lucifer. But I'm saying this, you're not lucky, you're blessed. Some people say, you got to get lucky. No, you just got to get blessed. And you got to get in a place where you can be blessed. Amen. And I love this, talking about seeking God. If you're going to see the grace of God of healing, you got to continually seek God. And it says here in Psalms 27:4, one thing I have desired of the Lord that I will seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in His temple. So I know that you can have church without coming to church, you know, but really there's power in coming to church. I'm telling you, I would not be where I'm at today if I didn't get submitted and committed to a church. God is not getting rid of the church. The church will always be here until Jesus comes back for His church. Amen. Jesus talks about seven churches in the book of Revelation. Jesus, God invented church, and church is a good thing. I like what it says in Psalms 92:13, talking about the importance of receiving healing by coming to church, because you can get healed in a church service. Do you believe that today? I like what it says in Psalms 92:13. Those who are planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God. I love that. And it continues to say that we will be blessed in old age. Now, some of us are getting older in here. How many people are getting older in here? Amen. I was working out yesterday, and this other guy was working out. And he looked like a tough guy. He was really working out. And then I ended up talking to him. I ended up getting him on the network. He's on the network. His name was James. And sometimes when you see people, he looked kind of mean while I was working out. But when I started talking to him, he was a really nice guy. It's amazing how just talking to people, you find out that they're not really that mean. Some people may look mean on the outside, but they're nice on the inside. Amen. And so I was talking to James last night. I said, that's a good Bible name. And James is the book of wisdom. And he started smiling, and he started telling me about some of his other relatives that are named after people in the Bible. And I asked him if he went to church. And he said, I don't go to church. I said, you need to get on my network and possibly come out to church sometime. Got him on the network. Amen. And what am I saying? I'm saying we're here to bring people closer to God. Amen. And God led me to minister to him. I gave the devil the black eye last night. Amen. And he's probably watching. James, if you're watching me right now, good to have you join us. Amen. And so we're talking about healing, and we're talking about Peter and John headed to church. And really, we want to seek God and seek his presence, and in his presence will receive healing. Amen. The church is also the beacon of truth. Amen. I like that because Timothy says this way, but if I am delayed, in 1 Timothy 3:15, if I am delayed, I write so that you may know how you ought to conduct yourself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and the ground of truth. So hopefully, not all churches preach the truth, but hopefully I'm preaching as close to the Word of God as possible. And I'm bringing you scriptures that backs every statement that I make. Amen. So I like to bring a word to back the statement because my opinion doesn't matter. Only the Word of God matters. People's opinions don't matter. Only the Word of God matters. People might have opinions. Preachers might have opinions. Some preachers think it's a gift of God to be sick. My Bible doesn't teach that. My Bible says, beloved, I wish above all things you may prosper and be in health even as your soul prospers. God wants you prospering. He wants you blessed. Do you believe that today? And so the church is the pillar and the ground of truth. Amen. So the Bible says this, that if you're coming to church and you're receiving truth, what will truth do for you? That's the question. What can truth do for a believer? The truth can set you free. Amen. Tell me the truth and tell me no lies. Amen. Amen. Tell the truth and shame the devil. We got to tell the truth. You can't handle the truth. I'm kidding, but you got to tell the truth. The truth, and Jesus said to the Jews in John 8:31-32, the Jews who believed in him. Notice the Jew. There were Jews that believed in Jesus. Not all the Jewish, not the Sadducees or the Pharisees. Not all of them were against Jesus. Some of them, the Word of God was penetrating their hard hearts. And I'm going to say this. Maybe you're here today and you're thinking, am I ever going to get healed? Am I ever going to be delivered? Am I ever going to get set free? I'm going to say, yes, you will. If you stay in the Word of God, if you allow the truth of God's Word to change the lie that the devil's trying to put on you. Some say that when we are attacked with pain in our body or these symptoms, some call it lying symptoms. These are things that are trying to lie to you to tell you that you're sick, but God's Word is telling you that you're healed. And you got, I'm going with the Word. Say, I'm going with the Word. Amen. So the first key, if we're going to walk in healing, we have to seek God in the church. In other words, seek the truth of God's Word to set us free. Amen. Number two, if we're going to see God's work, miracle working in our lives, I notice it said that Peter and John were going to church in the hour of prayer. The hour of prayer. And you cannot discount prayer and separate prayer from healing. Amen. In other words, if you're going to be a powerful Christian in God, you got to be a Christian that prays. Amen. And you can't just be a foxhole Christian. What do I mean by you just pray when it gets bad? You're in the foxhole. The enemy's all around you. You're in trouble. And now it's time to pray. If all else fails, pray. No, we don't want to wait till all else fails to start praying. We need to start praying now. Or all else will fail. If we don't start praying now, things can start breaking down in our lives. Prayer, somebody say prayer is powerful. So Peter and John were going to the house of prayer. Jesus said it this way in Mark 11:17. He said, then he taught, saying to them, Is it not written, my house shall be called a house of prayer for all nations? So the house that we come to is a house of prayer. It's the house of the Word of God, but it's a house of prayer. Amen? And I'm going to say this, prayer is powerful. And I like what it says in James and talking about the power of prayer. And when I look at this, prayer is mentioned in these scriptures over and over again. Now in James 5:13, it says this, if anyone among you is suffering, let him pray. So number one, if you are suffering, you need to pray. That's what James is saying. If anybody's suffering, pray. The best prayer you can pray, I say this quite often, help me, Jesus. Yeah, it's a good prayer. Help me, Jesus. Jesus, help. Amen. And so if you're suffering, pray. Then it says, if anyone is cheerful, let him sing psalms. I like that. I don't think you have to wait to become cheerful to sing the psalms. I think you need to start singing the psalms and you'll become cheerful. Can I say that again? I think if you start singing psalms, you might become cheerful. You hear what I'm saying today? He says, if anyone's here, and I'm going to say this, praise is a form of prayer. Amen. I'm going to say that again. Praise is a form of prayer. When you're praising God, some say it's the highest form of prayer. Yes. Praise. It's telling God how great He is. It's telling God that He is a mighty God. There's nothing He can't do. He can change anything. Praise is a form of prayer, and it's the highest form, some say, of prayer. Praise. And sometimes you'll get more out of praise than out of prayer. I'm going somewhere this morning. Sometimes you'll get more and you'll receive more from God if you just praise Him. Somebody needs to praise God a little bit more. In other words, praise will raise you. Complaining will cause you to remain. Complain and remain, praise and be raised. And so I love this. So he says, if anyone is cheerful, let him sing praises. If anyone among you is sick, okay, here we go. And this is interesting. He says, if anyone among you is sick. Is anyone among you sick? I believe that should be a rare occasion in the church. I think it should be a rare occasion. But it happens. And it says, let him who call for the elders of the church and let him pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. Amen. So we see here, we see the word prayer. It says, if there's any sick among you, I'm going to say this. If you get sick, call the pastor. Give me a call. Let me stand in faith with you, in agreement with you. There's power in agreement. And then, you know, I will even get bold enough to come to your house and lay hands on you and anoint you with oil. Oh, I'm just a phone call away. Amen. Amen? And if you don't have my number, get with me at the end of the service and I'll get you my number. Hallelujah. Amen. And so, Psalm 333? God's number, call on the name of the Lord. Amen. And so we need to be calling on the name of the Lord. Amen. And I love this, what it says here. If there's any sick among you, let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. Notice that, in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith will save the sick. I love that, the prayer of faith. And the Lord will raise him up, and if he committed any sins, it will be forgiven. This is powerful. It's talking about the prayer of faith will save. That word, another word for save is heal. The prayer of faith will heal the sick. And this is even, it's a double blessing, because if you come for prayer, that means that you're turning to God. That means if you're asking somebody, like a minister, to pray for you, you're saying that that you have come to the end of yourself and you need God. And when God sees you coming to Him, He sees that as repentance. What is repentance? Repentance is drawing close to God. is saying, God, I need you. God, I have to have you in my life. It's turning to God. And so I love that. And then he says here, confess your trespasses to one another. Again, here's the word pray again. Pray for one another that you may be healed. I want to say this. One of the most, the best things you can do if you're dealing with any kind of infirmity or sickness in your life, find somebody to pray for. Pastor, I need the prayer. But it says here, if you pray for somebody, God will heal you. In other words, if you sow healing, what will you reap? See, a lot of times when we get sick, we get focused on ourselves. Me, myself, and I, the false trinity. But we can't be focused on ourselves. A lot of times when we get sick, we got to focus on others. Pray for somebody else. Amen. I love that. So I love that. It says here, confess your trespasses to one another and pray for one another. That means come in unity and one accord. In other words, walk in love and forgiveness and pray for one another so you may be healed. And I love this. This is one of my favorite parts of this of these verses that I've been reading. The effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much or makes tremendous power available. So the righteous man, I'm going to say this. Some people read this and say, well, I'm not that righteous. No, you are righteous because of the blood of Jesus. The blood of Jesus makes you righteous. Now, holiness, you have to separate yourself from the world to be holy. But to be righteous, you receive Jesus. And you being righteous, that means the righteous prayer, the prayer of a righteous man. You are righteous people. Why? Because of the blood of Jesus. If we're going to see the miracle working grace of God in our lives, we got to get expectant. Somebody say expectation. See, sometimes when we're dealing with stuff and we've been dealing with it for a while, the devil says it's going to stay the same or it's going to get worse. Have you ever felt that? It's going to stay the same or it's going to get worse. And you can't be expecting it's going to stay the same or it's going to get worse. You got to start expecting, oh, it's going to get better. Somebody say the best is yet to come. And it has to get better. I'm going to say that. It has to get better. And it's getting, somebody say it's getting better. So we have to have expectation. In Acts 3, 4, and 5, it says here, and fixing his eyes on him with John, Peter said, look at us. So he gave him his attention, expecting to receive something from them. So what did Peter do? What he did was he primed the man's faith. You see, in the old days, to get water out of a well, they had to prime the well. They had to pump this well, and they had to pump it, and that pump in action caused suction for the water to come up, and you got to prime the pump. They say priming the pump. Well, sometimes your faith needs to be primed. I'm going to say it again. Sometimes your faith needs, because sometimes you're weak in faith. Have you ever been weak in faith? Have you ever been like, I just don't know. I don't know if God's going to move. I don't know if things are going to... Sometimes I'm weak in faith, but you got to prime the pump. How do you prime the pump? You prime the pump with expectation. So he said, look at us. And what he was doing with the man, he was priming his pump. He was getting him expectant. And expectation is the ingredient for miracles. Do you believe that today? So my question to you today, what are you expecting? Are you expecting it to get worse? Well, it probably will. Are you expecting it to get better? It probably will. You get what you expect. I'm going to say it again. You get what you expect. If you're expecting for negative, then negative might come. Amen. Because what we expect, we will receive. And I'm expecting for good. For God says, I know the plans that I have for you. Oh, my Lord. God has plans for me. I know the plans. good plans to give you hope and a future. God has a good future for you. Stop looking at the negative. Stop looking at the glass half empty. It's half full, glory to God. Stop making concessions. Oh, well, I got to make concessions. I'm dealing with this and I'm dealing with that. And I might have to pull back here. I might have to stop going to church. No, you need to start moving forward. You need to start going to church. You need to start showing up. You'll beat 90% of the people just showing up. Glory to God. I love this. The man was at the gate called Beautiful, and something beautiful happened to him. He was at the gate called Beautiful, and something beautiful, healing, happened to this man because he was sitting close to the church. This man's faith was primed with expectation. Now, you got to think about this for a second. What is expectation? You know, I was meditating about this, and expectation, what expectation is really, it's hope. Expectation is hope. You see, faith and hope go hand in hand. You have to, faith, it receives the grace to get healed, but you have to have hope as a component of faith. And hope is the earnest expectation of good to come. So hope is the vision. It's the goal setter. It's what you're believing God's going to do.
Amen.
Amen. And so you can say expectation and hope go hand in hand. Now in Hebrews 11:1 it says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. So hope is an expectation, again, of good to come. So faith brings to substance the things that we are expecting to come to pass in our lives. You could say it like this. Now, faith is the substance of things expected for. Hope for, expected for. Faith is the substance, brings in your healing, what you're expecting God to do. Amen. So if you're dealing with sickness in your life, start, again, expect it to get better. Expect healing to come in your life. Fear will always try to convince you that things in life that you're standing against, again, will get worse. But faith believes things in our lives will get better. In Hebrews 10:35-36, it says here, do not throw away your confidence. It will be richly rewarded. You need to persevere so that when you have done the will of God, you receive what He has promised. Amen? So I love that. So you receive what He has promised. So what is He saying here? He's saying in this scripture, this is Paul speaking in Hebrews, he's saying don't give up. So as long as you're still breathing, keep believing that healing is coming past into your life. Keep expecting to get healthier and not to get sicker. Amen? I love what it says here. It says here, I would, in Psalms 27:13, I would have lost heart unless I believe. I would have lost heart unless I believe. What is the devil working on? He's working on your believer. He's working on the power of believing. The devil's trying to get you to disbelieve. And he said, I would have lost heart unless I believe. What do we believe? That we would see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. And then I love it. It says here, wait on the Lord. Be of good courage, and He shall strengthen your heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. See, some of us, what we need to be doing in the process of receiving our healing, we need to learn to wait on the Lord. And you can say, Pastor, I've been waiting for a long time. Amen. Amen. But listen, when patience starts working in your life, the Bible says when you are rooted and grounded in patience and perseverance, you will lack nothing. If you're willing to wait forever, you won't wait for very long. I'm going to say that again. If you're willing to wait forever, you won't wait very long. Why? Because you're set. You are determined. You're not going to let go of the promise of God. Job, in his plight, had to believe things would get better. Remember, he had a very motivational wife. Job had a motivational wife. Remember, all hell was breaking loose around Job. He lost his children. He lost his fortune. He lost his health. And finally, Job's wife wanted to encourage him one day. And Job's wife said, "Why don't you just curse God and die?" Amen. The devil knew what he was doing by leaving her behind. Amen. Sometimes people can be used as a tool to bring people down. Sometimes relatives can bring you down. Amen. Don't let your relatives, your in-laws or your outlaws bring you down. Amen. But Job in his plight, in Job 19, says this, "For I know that my Redeemer lives. He shall stand at the last on the earth." So Job had a revelation that Jesus is our Redeemer and that he lives. And what does that mean, Redeemer? That means that Jesus makes things right. Jesus will make things right in your life if you trust him and you believe him. Job's remedy to overcome is also in Job 5:22. It says, "You shall laugh at destruction and famine, and you shall not be afraid of the beasts of the earth." So he's saying here that if you want to receive deliverance and healing, you need to learn to laugh. Amen. You need to learn to start laughing at what the devil's trying to do in your life. You need to start laughing a little bit more. Amen? And if you're going to receive that healing, in Proverbs 17:22, it says, "A merry heart does good like a medicine, but a broken spirit dries up the bones." What is the enemy trying to do in our last days? He's trying to make us grumpy. The devil wants us grumpy. The devil wants us upset. The devil wants us agitated. Do you believe that? The devil wants us acting like him. You know, the devil's agitated. The devil's grumpy. The devil's fearful. The devil's not a happy being. He's not too happy. The Bible says he walks in fear. He's going to and fro, trying to seek somebody he can devour. Why? Because his knows his time is short. The devil knows his time is short. So why? That's the reason why he's attacking you. Because he knows that you have purpose. That God has purpose for you. That you, there's a reason that you're here. That God has a calling on your life. So we need to start laughing at the things of the devil. Why? Because the devil can't win. Amen? If you have a merry heart, that merry heart will cause you to believe that God's working things for your good. Amen? And so we got to believe that in that he's working things for our good. Amen? In Romans 8:28, it says this, and this is powerful. I love Romans 8:28. And see, you got to, again, you got to get this revelation. No matter what you're going through in this life, no matter what seems to be negative, God's working things out. Somebody say, "God's working things out." See, when somebody asks you, how you doing? Don't tell them all the war story that you're going through. Oh, man, let me tell you what I'm going through. No, don't tell them that God's working it out. It may look bad. I might be suffering some things, but God's working it out. Somebody say, "God's working it out." I love that. And I love what it says in Romans 8:28. "And we know," say, "I know." I love that. That all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who called according to his purpose. God is working good. He's working together all things for good to those that love him. How many people love God out here? And if you love God, he's working things for your good. In other words, the devil's trying to work things for your bad, but God is working things for your good. I like this. It says here, "What the enemy means for evil, God can turn for good." We get that scripture from Genesis 50 when Joseph was with his brothers, and Joseph's brothers were feeling bad because they threw him in a pit and they sold him into slavery. And here it says, here, Joseph says here to his brothers, but as for you, you meant for evil against me, but God meant it for good in order to bring about as this day to save many people's lives. I want to say this. What you're going through today, the test you're going through today, will become your testimony. Amen. The mess that you experience today will become your message. Your problem that you're dealing with today, you will find the promise, and that promise will get you out of that problem. You got to believe that today. Your test, your testimony, your message, your problem will be the promise that you stand on. Amen? This lame man that got healed believed God. He expected to receive something from Peter, and he received healing in his body. And this is interesting. Peter took the hand of this man and lifted him up. Sometimes we need other believers to help us in our faith if we're going to receive healing in our lives. We need one another. We need each other to stand with each other. We need each other to lift each other up. We need to be praying for one another. And we need to be standing with one another. Amen? And the healing power of God is powerful. Amen? I love that. And this is what got him healed. You see, the Bible says this, that Peter and John and Peter, the church was amazed about this miracle healing. And they were looking at Peter and John like they were something special. I want to say this, that they weren't anything special in themselves. But what was special was what they used. What did they use? Peter said, silver and gold I have not, but what I do have, I give unto you. Rise and walk in the name of Jesus. What did he have? He had the most powerful name in the universe. And if you start using the most powerful name in the universe, you're going to see healing, not just for yourself, but for your family members. In other words, the devil is trying to get the name of Jesus out of the prayers. He's trying to keep people from praying in the name of Jesus. Listen, you can pray in the name of Muhammad and nothing's going to happen. You can pray in the name of Buddha and nothing's going to happen. But if you pray in the name of Jesus, things are going to happen. I'm telling you. I'm telling you, that's the truth. I love what it says in John 16:23. And in that day, say today is that day. You will ask me nothing. Most assuredly, I say to you, whatever you ask in the Father in my name, he will give it to you. This is Jesus talking about in that day. What day is that? The day that Jesus is resurrected, sitting at the right hand of the Father, interceding for us that our faith won't fail. That we're in that day. That's the day that we're not asking Jesus specifically, but we ask the Father in Jesus' name. It says, see, you don't need to pray to Mary, the saint, amen. You need to pray to Father in Jesus' name. Some people say, I pray to Mary every day. Well, you know, Mary, don't pray to Mary, pray to the Father. I think the Father's a little bit more powerful than Mary, amen. And I like this, it says in John 16:24, it says, until now you have asked nothing in my name, ask and you receive, and your joy may be made full. I love that. In John 14:13, it says, and whatever you ask in my name, in the name of Jesus, that I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. So we see here that Jesus was instructing his disciples. You know, they were asking Jesus to do things. And Jesus said, listen, in that day, the day of his resurrection, the day he's sitting at the right hand of the Father, in that day, which is today, he says, you ask the Father in Jesus' name. And I love this because it says in Mark 16:17-18, it says, these signs will follow those who believe in my name. Somebody say, in Jesus' name. You will cast out demons. You will speak with new tongues. You will take up serpents. You drink any deadly thing, it will not hurt you. You will lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. Why will people recover? Because you're laying hands on the sick in the name of Jesus. And that's a powerful name. The Bible says every knee shall bow, every tongue confess that Jesus is Lord in heaven, on earth, and under the earth. I love that. So Peter said when he picked up the man, he held his hand, He said, here, while the man held on Peter and John, the people were astonished and came running to them in the place called Solomon's Colonnade. When Peter saw this, he said to them, "Fellow Israelites, why does this surprise you? Why do you stare at us as if our own power and godliness we had made this man walk?" And then he says, "By the faith in the name of Jesus." This is Acts 3:16. This is powerful. John 3:16, "For God so loved the world." Acts 3:16, "By faith in the name of Jesus." That's powerful. "This man whom you see and know was made strong. It is Jesus' name and the faith that comes through him that has completely healed him, as you can see." So we see here that you have to have faith in Jesus, but you also have to have faith in the name of Jesus. Say, "I have faith in the name of Jesus." And faith is always activated in the now. See, faith is not putting, "I'm going to get healed sometime. Down the road, I'm going to get healed." Faith is saying, "I'm healed today." Amen. Amen. See, the Bible says here, going back to the scripture in Hebrews 11:1, it says, "Now faith is." Think about that. Now faith is. Faith is now. Faith is now the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. If you're going to receive healing in your bodies, you got to believe that you're healed now. You see, when Brother Hagin was on the bed of affliction and he had a heart disease, he had an incurable blood disease and a deformed heart, and he was laying in bed, he told the Lord he believed he was healed. He said, "I believe that I'm healed." And the Lord said, "If you really believe you're healed, you'll get up." The Holy Spirit spoke to him. And see, if you believe that you're healed, you're going to get up. I'm going to say again, if you believe you're healed, you're going to get up. You're going to start moving. You're not going to just lay in bed. "Okay, God, listen." In other words, faith is activated by your actions. And so Brother Hagin slid out, took his body out of the bed, got up, threw his legs over. His legs were paralyzed. Half his body was paralyzed. And he mustered all he could to stand up. And as he did, as he mustered everything he had, the power of God hit him. It was like hot honey that came on top of his head, came all over his body, and he received healing. And when he moved, God moves. I'm going to say this to you today. When you move, God will move. When you move, God will move. And you need to start moving for the glory of God. And so you got to believe that you have it now. And so I love this because as faith is the substance, the word substance means title deed. If you hold the title to something, that means you own it. I'm going to say again, if you hold the title to something, you own it. If you have the title to your house, the bank doesn't own it, you own it. You have the power to do whatever you want with that title. And I'm going to say this. Your title deed is Isaiah 53, 4 and 5. Your title deed is Isaiah 53, 4 and 5. That's your title deed. What do you mean by that? This is your title deed, that you're healed, delivered, and set free. Right here. It says, "Surely he has bore our griefs," this is the Amplified Classic, "sicknesses, weaknesses, and distresses, and he carried our sorrows and pains of punishment, yet we ignorantly considered him stricken, smitten, God inflicted, but God, as it was with leprosy, but he was wounded for our transgressions, he was bruised for our guilt and iniquities. The chastisement needed to obtain peace and well-being fell upon him, and with his stripes you are healed." You are made whole. Glory to God. With his stripes you are made whole. So we see the title deed says, surely, number one, surely he bore our sicknesses and carried our pain. And the title deed also tells us, by his stripes we are healed. If you're dealing with affliction or infirmity, you don't have to, because Jesus bore every stripe, 39 stripes. He bore your pain. He bore your sicknesses. He bore your infirmity. He received it by the stripes he received on his body. And he didn't receive it for nothing. Everything that Jesus went through the crucifixion, through the atonement, everything he went through was for our blessing. Do you believe that today? And I'm going to say this, my last point, and I'm closing, is that we need to be like that man. The Bible says he jumped to his feet and began to walk. Then he went into the temple courts, walking, jumping, and praising God. What we need to do is, now this man was walking, jumping, and praising God because he couldn't do that before. But if you can walk and jump and pray, if you're not an invalid, if you're not paralyzed, and I'm telling you, and even if you are, and you can only move your baby finger, start letting that jump up and down for the glory of God. Whatever you have, move it for the glory of God. Do whatever you can. Maybe you can't move as much. Maybe you have to just kind of move a little bit. Move a little bit. Do something. And then the power of God will work. And I'm going to say this, that he was praising God. And I'm going to say this, that if you would start praising God before you see it, you will have it. If you will start praising and thanking God, amen. The Bible says in Hebrews 13, 15, by him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. Somebody say continually. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. I love that. So there's so many exhortations in the Bible telling us to praise God. And it says here in Philippians 4:7, I'm closing out with this last verse, rejoice in the Lord always. Even if I'm dealing with affliction, rejoice in the Lord always. Even if I'm feeling sick, rejoice in the Lord always. Even if some bad news came to me, rejoice in the Lord always, regardless of what it looks like. I say rejoice. Let your moderation be known to all men. The Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication. Now this is a key right here. With thanksgiving. Through prayer and petition, supplication, with thanksgiving. Let your request be made known to God, and the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your heart and mind through Christ Jesus. I'm going to say this. When you're believing God for healing, you got to maintain your peace walk. You got to do everything you can to stay in the rest mode, because you receive when you're resting. And you got to learn to be thankful. And that thankfulness should bring peace in your life. And if you're walking in the peace of God, then nothing's bothering you. You'll be in expectation. And when you're in expectation, you will see the miracle working power of God working in your life. And you will have it today. Did you receive it today? Amen. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Father, I just thank you for your mercies and your goodness and your love. And I thank you, Father God, that the name of Jesus is the most powerful name in the universe. And perhaps you're watching or listening to me, and maybe you've never evoked the name of Jesus. You never received Jesus as your Lord and Savior. Well, today is a day of salvation. You can have Jesus sitting on the throne of your heart today. And he can become your healer, your deliverer, and he can set you free from anything that's ailing you. So say this out loud and mean in your heart. If you're ready to receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior, say, dear God, I believe, Jesus, you died on the cross for my sins. I believe you were raised from the dead for my justification. Today, I receive you as my Lord and my Savior. Thank you for saving me. And Heavenly Father, fill me with your Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen.
We thank you for listening to this message. For more information, visit us at exceedlifechurch.org.